This is Scott Heima with CSB Ministries. It is my pleasure to introduce Nick Liberto, the Executive Director of Proven Men Ministries out of Lynchburg, Virginia. He led this seminar at the 2016 Rochester Iron Sharpens Iron Conference on October 29th, which is entitled Modern Day Man Needs Reinventing. Here's Nick.
So why'd you guys come? Somebody give me, what are you looking for? What questions do you have?
Guidance.
Okay, that's fantastic. We have a lot of father sons go through our program, so it's really cool. Anybody else? Give me somebody else. Why are you here?
Trouble with my life.
Uh-huh. Thank every man.
Just recently, I had a 5-year-old grandson who exposed himself on the bus.
Yep.
I'm not sure
Absolutely. Amen. That's so good. So what he was saying is avoidance, trying to not necessarily pick that as the path. Sometimes you'll hear white knuckling. Avoidance is similar to that. There's not a lot of deep root freedom there. It's very much just throw blinders on and walk around life. But Jesus literally gives us freedom. We have freedom in Christ. And so what our ministry does is goes on a 12-week journey with a man. You spend 30 to 45 minutes with God every morning. You dialogue with someone once a week. It could be one-on-one. It could be a group of 10. That's what my ministry does. Today, we're going to do a little bit more of studying Jesus and why that starts this process and why if we don't start here, all it's going to be is avoidance. If you don't have that deep root change because you know that you're heirs of the kingdom, you know that Jesus saves us from everything and we can throw that on his feet. That's the whole point of what this seminar is. If you have questions about actual individual tips or what our books do, come talk to me at the booth or here or after. But we're going to be talking about Jesus because that's more important than me. Give me somebody else. Why are you here?
Because of the culture we all live in today.
Amen.
It's all over.
Yeah.
As far as sexual.
It is everywhere.
So,
So the statistic that we ran in 2014, which is old, was that 97% of Christian men have viewed pornography. So like I said from the stage up there, very few men in that room have not seen it. And so what that means is we're men of Christ. We are literally the body of Christ. The bride was the whole point. And so we want to equip the church. We want to equip your families. We want to say, please look me in the eyes and say, I care about this. This is important. Why do I care about this? Why is it important? Because you have stories where 5-year-olds are finding it on a bus. Because, oh my gosh, the youth leaders I talk to, it's terrifying. And so it's super important to put this in your foundation. Give me another one. Why is somebody here? Why are you here? Why do you care about this?
I'm here because I'm a porn addict and Jesus has saved me.
Amen.
And I have four young men that I have to shepherd.
Amen. Amen. And what more are you called to than that? Because that is your ministry. That is literally your ministry. And so we all have ministries here. We're all Christians, so this should all matter. We are really, really, really poised to lead a revival on this. Can you even imagine what that would look like if we stopped consuming, and not that you men are, but if men in general in our culture stopped consuming, how we could teach women that they're loved, how we could show them that it's not about an image, it's not about how much makeup they wear, it's literally they are daughters of Christ. And so this is this huge epidemic, and this is just the starting point to get you on the path of caring about the kingdom. And if you ask me, Satan cares about a lot of things, but this is in the top three of the things he's really good at using to castrate men from work in the kingdom. So the only reason that I'm here is because I care about you guys, because I care about Jesus, and because I want your ministries, your kingdoms, the word, the testimony, the light that you are to spread. That's literally the only reason that I'm here. God, be here in this moment. I don't want my words to come out. I want your words to come out. It's not about me. It's about you. Thank you for these men that are here because they see that there is an issue in our culture and in our society, and they want to be equipped. They want to be prepared. Thank you, God, so much for the opportunity to be in this place. Stir hearts, Holy Spirit. We invite you in. We want to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, gentlemen. So, like I discussed, my ministry literally knocks on doors and says, are you doing anything for sexual integrity? Are you doing anything to gain and retain it? And if the answer is no, give me a call. Let's have a conversation. But today, like, and the reason I wanted to show this video is because it's all about that, okay? It's all about that. It's not about anything else. The reason that we wake up and go to church, the reason that we call ourselves Christ followers is because there is a love that is so scandalous, and we are heirs of that love. So I want you all to understand that we are literally heirs to this kingdom, and it's... guys, it's amazing. It's like Chuck was saying up there. He wants everyone to be just as crazy as he is because he's just as crazy about the gospel. And so we're going to talk, we're going to Bible study about inheritance and how there's about 64 verses in the Bible, not specific verses, contexts that talk about sexual integrity. Sex is talked about that much in the Bible. There are three distinct verses that we're going to start with that are a little bit scary. It involves basically... someone saying that we may not inherit the kingdom if we are these sexual debased beings and we can't throw this sin onto the cross. So who volunteered to read Ephesians 5:5? If you stand up and just be pretty loud.
Okay. Ephesians 5:5. Be sure of this, that no immoral or impure or greedy person, that is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God.
All right, Galatians 5:19-21. Stand up.
The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do so things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
All right, that's twice now that we are warned to be careful because we may not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Be loud, please.
Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen. All right, so Galatians 5:19-21. Can you stand up? You just read it, right? Galatians 5:19-21. Stand up. I need you to read the rest of that because this is where the hope, this is the importance. We read three verses about how this is scary, right? But this isn't a doom and gloom conversation because of the video we just watched. So read the rest of that from 21 through 24.
For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts.
All right, and then, so 1 Corinthians 6, stand up and read the very last verse. So you read 9 through 10, read 11.
Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God.
Amen. Isn't that exciting? Like, it's not this doom and gloom conversation. There is freedom. There is exciting news. The news is the gospel. The news is that this is not something that has to control you as a man. So those three address the things, the scary things, that we could possibly not inherit the kingdom of God. Why is it so important for me to be up here? It's because I see faces. I see brothers in Christ. And just like Chuck, you know, in a room of Christian men, reaches out and accepts those that maybe, if Jesus was in front of you, maybe he says, I don't know you. And those came down, and it was so glorious. And oh my gosh, we celebrated because the angels celebrate in heaven every time one comes to know him. And so just like that, I have that same desire for men in this room, for men that are in churches around the U.S., that they can literally look to other guys and say, it's okay. Let me walk alongside of you. Let me mentor you. Let me disciple you. Because we're called to be disciples. Why are we here if all we do is we wake up and we go to church and then we do it again every week? That's not the point. The point is to gain and retain sexual integrity. Because literally this is just a 12-week program that we have in our ministry. It's supposed to jumpstart and launch you into the men's ministry. That Radiant Church that got up there, that like excited me. Do you know what the Lord told me when they got up there and they were talking about all the amazing things that the men serve in their church. It was literally, he was saying to me, he said, your ministry is preparing men to just say yes and start doing those things. To start serving. Because it's not about them. One of the things that my ministry talks about, pride and selfishness. That's the root of all the problem. Okay? We grew up in 20th century America. Pride and selfishness is what we're all about. We're all about me, me, me. It's all about us. No matter who you are, if you've been married, you really understand it. And so it's definitely something that we want to excise this root. The roots are deep. So many people go for this low-hanging fruit, right? Whether it's avoidance, whether it's accountability software, which is not bad. But it's just, I'll be okay because I implemented this. And all I'm here to do is to get Christians in the church to say, this is an issue that we care about because it is castrating our men and it is shame-stapling men to the pews. Okay? All right, now we have more exciting things to hear about from Christ. We're going to talk about inheritance. So when I found these verses, I want to do our best, if everyone who has these can stand. So that's Acts 20 through 32, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Titus. If you have one of those, please stand up. We're going to try and read these in order because it's so beautiful what we're being told about this inheritance that we have. Basically, the things that we just discussed. So we're going to read these in order. Please read loud. Acts 20, 32.
And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
Amen. 2 Corinthians 1, 5.
For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too.
Amen. 2 Corinthians 1, 7.
And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort.
Galatians 3, 29.
And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, according to promise.
All right, Galatians 4, 7.
So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God.
Ephesians 3, 6.
This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, member of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel.
Amen. Titus 3:7.
So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life.
Amen. I don't know, that just excites me. We are heirs of the kingdom. We talked about grace in there. We talked about Christ's sacrifice in there. All through the New Testament, that's literally the story. That's the story of the gospel. That's the story of our faith. It's that Christ died on the cross and his grace is sufficient for us. We are sinners. We are wretched. This will always be, so one thing in our ministry, if you have two eyes, maybe one, you're a man and you're breathing, this is an issue, okay? Yeah, that's funny too. So, one eye can still do it. So for women, it's image, it's beauty, it's constantly seeing airbrushed models on TV, constantly thinking that this sexualized culture is out here to consume me. And for men, it's that supply and demand problem. So it's literally thrown in front of us every football game, every commercial, every billboard. I was just talking to somebody. He was talking about the same thing, billboards and commercials. So there's nothing that we can do to make it all go away, okay? There's nothing. I have no secret here to give you to make it all go away. The secret that I want to give you is to not have faith in your own strength, to have faith in Christ. One of the principles that we talk about is three R's in our ministry: recognize, ruin, and replace. Okay? None of those says, temptation's not going to enter my mind. None of those says, I will succeed in conquering this and can move on. It's like John Owen's The Mortification of Sin, a 1600 Puritan. This is crazy that I'm talking about 1600s. But he wrote this book, and he talks about the process of mortifying sin. One of the things he said is you have to know thine enemy, like Sun Tzu. Okay? Know thine enemy, because he is constantly ever trying to attack, trying to move forward, to gain ground against you. Do you know that he doesn't ever rest in this issue? You can guess, you live in the 20th century. So what we're studying, what we're discussing, what we're dialoguing is simply to understand that it's not your own strength. You need to constantly be aggressing towards the enemy. Because if you stop, then that gives him a chance to regroup. But guys, can you imagine when we gain and retain sexual integrity? What's next? We take it on the front lines and we attack after him. We teach other men. We replicate. We disciple. We mentor. One of the things that our ministry talks about is the mark of a proven man is not the absence of sin, but it's what you do with the setback. We are all fallen creatures. We will always sin. I'm not saying that we will always act out. I'm not saying that this is always something that you'll have. But what I am saying is that we are fallen. Christ is not, and we have this promise. Okay? And that's this good news is literally what we have to give to other people. What's the best news that we have? It's that you're dirty, but somebody wants to clean you. That's the best news we can give. And especially in this issue. Because how many men are dirty? How many men think it's the only thing that is out there that they struggle with? No one else struggles with it. How many men hide in a hole because they're ashamed? And they isolate themselves. And isolation is horrible. One of the things that our ministry advocates is for accountability and networking. Because you will not experience any level of freedom in any of this by yourself. Never in the Bible, nowhere, was somebody sent out by himself. Okay? There was two people sent. Why? The whole armor of God concept. You may have heard it. Why is there no armor of God for your back? Because you have to stand back to back to one another. You have to lift each other up. You have to hold up each other's arms. If there's more than two, that's even better. All right, so let's everyone turn to 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So, be watchful. Be sober-minded. One of the things that I will sometimes say from a platform is that there used to be an elephant, okay? Everyone here has heard about the elephant in the room. I know that you have. There used to be an elephant. The church may have fumbled the ball a little bit because there's now a lion, okay? And he's roaming around the pews and he's devouring people. The only reason I have any confidence to say that is because statistics say 97% of Christian men look at pornography. Come to my booth, there's like 30 other statistics that I have about Christian men and how that they struggle with this and how it looks quite like the secular world and why this is so important. So, I am here to ask you gentlemen to recognize that there's a lion in our society and to take ownership and to help me champion it. Help me expel it. Help us get it out of our church. Help us equip our men to shut down the gates of this zoo that we keep letting these animals in. And the lion, he's just going to destroy us. Let's see growth. Let's see unity. Let's see this bond and this revival take place from this issue. Why not? Why not? We can do it. We can take this back. And there's no reason to think that we can't. So you have some sheets in front of you. We went through 1 Peter 5 and we talked about the lion, right? So one of the things that I want to ask you guys to seriously think about, this is rhetorical, but I maybe want you to write it down in your notes, okay? Be examples of who are you mentoring and who are you discipling? The 1 Peter 5, it says, be examples, be alert, be ready. Even in your journey to gain and retain sexual integrity, do you not mourn? And is your heart not broken for your brother? I know mine is. I know that not even when I was in this ministry, prior to this ministry, I was constantly brokenhearted for the marriages that I was walking alongside of a man who struggled. And whether he was telling his wife or not, it was breaking my heart. And there's so many countless stories that I have of this. Okay? So It is so important that we live out our calling to be disciples. We are called to be disciples. A disciple, mentor, probably the word could go hand in hand. Jesus chose 12. Look what he did with this world, with 12 guys, okay? So, that wasn't any, like, let that encourage you. 12 normal dudes that were pretty much nothing dudes changed the map and the face of this world for the kingdom. You can argue that they were special. They weren't. They were fishermen. They constantly were exemplifying the fact that they were nothing and he was everything. Like, that's literally the name of the game, okay? So it's not your own strength. It's we have Jesus and we follow him. If you're literally a disciple saying, Jesus is here, come, let's just go this way, okay? Like, that's the church. That's what you as men have the opportunity to do, to lead. The exciting honor it is. So literally, write it down. Don't leave this conference without thinking of someone in your mind. Just one person. I'm not asking you to do 12. One person that you're mentoring or discipling. Doesn't have to just be in this issue. But if you are mentoring and you are discipling somebody, it will be part of this. Another thing. This verse commands us to be watchful, be alert, be ready. How are you protecting your flock? Write down an answer. What do you see coming? What are you doing? How are you protecting your sons? How are you protecting your brothers? How are you protecting your pastors? Are you holding people accountable in your life? Are they holding you accountable in your life? These are tangibles, guys. I am constantly in my small group with my wife and my life. I'm constantly looking for tangibles because I'm a guy. It's how I operate, right? You could give me a bunch of emotion, but if you don't give me a game plan or a finish line to run towards, I kind of don't know what to do. So the tangibles and the takeaways are these. Mentoring and discipleship, and how are you protecting? Your men, you're called to protect. The image that we spoke of, the way that we consume the image of a woman in our society. How can you protect that tangibly? How can you protect that? How can you show your daughter that her image is priceless? How can you show your mother, your wife, your sister, that her image is priceless? You can mentor, teach, guide, and help them along in this journey equally because you're men, you're called to protect. You are there for that purpose, to walk alongside of them. They have the image of Christ as well, and we each have different roles in this kingdom. So I've been watchful, and here's some things that I've seen. And so this is that flyer that you have here in front of you. This isn't something super special, but it's a cool little outline diagram. So we know it's in the church. Here are those crazy statistics I was talking about. 97% of Christian men have looked at porn. 78% of Christian men viewed porn prior to age 16. We heard something about a five-year-old earlier. 64% of Christian men view porn at least once a month. So that means something like 200, 300 men in there probably have looked at it in the last month. There needs to be no shame there because we have Jesus. But that is just the statistic, okay? So people have tried accountability software, support groups, self-help books. The reason that when people asked me what we were going to be doing today, I was simply saying nothing with quick tips, nothing with self-helps. We need to fall in love with Jesus and let that be the foundation that we build all this to start off of. So that's why I kind of discount some of these techniques. I discount avoidance. I discount white-knuckling, gripping, hoping that you can do it. Because there is a different way to do it, and it's filling your cup up with Christ. Why does our study guide you through 12 weeks of spending 30 to 45 minutes before God every morning? Because anything that you want to adjust in your life, if you spend 30 to 45 minutes in the morning with God, will change. You will see transformation because that's what you're filling your cup up with so that you can overflow to others, so that you can mentor, so that you can disciple, so that you can guide, so that you can lead. All right, let's read this quote. This is one of the reasons internet accountability software does not work. The cravings that men, women, and children have toward viewing pornography causes them to seek ways to overcome the accountability software. Overcome the system so that their cravings are satisfied. Essentially, what has occurred is that internet accountability software has produced an outward display of repentance, i.e., I can be on my best behavior because I have accountability software. But the heart has never been changed. The heart still desperately yearns for viewing the material, and it will do what it takes to satiate its desires. Repentance, therefore, is needed, but it must take place both outwardly and inwardly. And that's what we're talking about. That's why I'm not here expounding and expelling techniques. It's repentance. It's turning from something. It's filling yourself up with Christ. That's the only change. So our study, 30, 45 minutes before God. Scripture memorization. What did Jesus do when he was at his weakest point in the desert, literally doing battle with Satan face to face? Yes, exactly. Scripture. Why don't we think that that's effective? Because it'll work. But we don't do it. Why don't we do it? So when I titled my thing, Modern Day Man Needs Reinventing, I'm speaking about issues like that. We need to reinvent ourselves. We need to understand that this is literally the sword of the Spirit, and we have this weapon to battle the spiritual principalities of this world. Not our own strength. This is His strength. So that's why I really liked that quote. I do have accountability software. I do have technology resources. But guys, that's not something that I'm relying on. It's part of my battle plan. It's part of my game plan. Anytime you want to accomplish anything in your life or protect yourself from anything, you have to set up a game plan. We're not in any way saying this will all just go away if we say, Jesus, make this go away. Because I was a freaking porn addict for so long, it was ridiculous, okay? I was the first generation, one of, that grew up on free porn. And I can't tell you how many times I heard a pastor say, just ask Jesus, he'll take it away and it should be gone. Okay? It doesn't work that way. If you have any level of psychology or any level of counseling, like, addiction doesn't go away that way. It's common knowledge now that the brain becomes addicted to pornography, just like heroin, just like cocaine. It literally creates this neuro pathway in your brain. And you literally have to try super hard to break down that neuro pathway and to build a healthy new one. So these techniques that we're talking about, the gospel of Christ is the best hammer that you can use to ruin that pathway in your brain and to create a new one. But if you are not filling yourself up with the gospel of Christ, with the word, you don't have a hammer in your hand, and you're probably not going to be able to succeed. That's what our ministry teaches, day in and day out. So, let's go on. What's your story with sexual integrity? Remember how I said I didn't want to be up here and just talk to you the whole time. Someone, be bold. Let Jesus come through you. What is the Lord telling you? Tell us your story so that the group can learn and share and grow. What's your story with sexual integrity? What's your story? People tell me all the time, but is anyone brave enough to tell yours? I'm not going to be ashamed if you're not, but I encourage you to stand up.
How long?
5 minutes, 2 minutes, whatever. 30 seconds. You can come up to the front or you can stand there, whatever makes you comfortable.
Thank you for the opportunity, really. My name's Greg. I grew up in a generation before free. When I grew up, it had to be exposed to it somehow. I was probably first exposed when I was maybe, I'm guessing, about 9. Older brother, older sibling in the house, things like that. And it became something at first. I didn't even really know what was going on, but it triggered something. And it continued on. Friends, there became a bond, but most of it was in secret. Actually, in my case, grew into with some friends initially actually going into voyeurism, where I was actually looking at in other people's windows and doing things like this as well. In addition, when it really, because that's the problem with it, is as many of you may know, whatever got you off before, now next time need more. It builds just like any other addiction, and went this way off and on through my life. I confessed it to my now wife before we were married.
Amen.
I confessed it to my family. But the struggle still went on because I thought I could do better. I could work at this. I tried everything, old age, new age, anything you could do, self, whatever, meditation, all of the above, and I would have amounts of success throughout my life, but for periods of time, but it would keep breaking me down, and the cycle of guilt and shame and anger just perpetuated. And, you know, I wanted to throw it at everything else. Yes, just like many people, I was from a broken home. I didn't have the best men examples in my life. My dad was a scoundrel, whatever you want to say. All that aside. Finally, it came down to a little over 2 years ago now when, you know, again, my wife, we're married happily, have beautiful kids, thinking, yeah, everything's good. I know this goes on, but I don't think it's a problem anymore. So that's my, me and my wife. Where I actually got caught in voyeurism while we were on vacation and arrested. Arrested. My family's at the beach house. I'm arrested in jail. And praise be to God. So through that, I came in the subsequent months. My wife, God bless her, is someone who, at that moment, she felt like she was eviscerated, but God was her only lifeline. And she says that to this day. I don't even understand. I understand now, but I didn't understand in the love that was encompassing. And from that moment on, I got into counseling. I spiraled downward to really, after that time, I got to the lowest of lows. I mean, I got to that point where I had to say, I'm done, God. I can't go on this way. You better take me off the earth or I'm going to take myself out. Because I couldn't live with it. I couldn't say. And I was always considering myself a follower of Christ, but I just didn't. I always thought I had to clean my. I had to work hard. I had to clean my. I could. How could God look at me? I'm a scumbag. That's the way I felt most of my life. And it was after that moment, being down there, looking up, saying, "I got nothing," and Jesus preserved me. He saved me. He restored me. He restored my marriage beyond anything I could ever imagine. And I got nothing. Every day I'm down on my knees saying, "I got nothing, Lord, and save me." And He does. And He does. And yes, the temptations, the struggles always will be there. I get frustrated saying, when are you going to take this away from me? Like, no thoughts coming. But like you said, it's that pathway. It's there a long time, and it takes this steady hand.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing. Greg, oh, you're awesome, man. I love you, brother.
Thank you.
That was amazing. Thank you so much. I'm super blessed, and I know everyone in this room is super blessed by what you did. And so thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit do that. So, guys, enough is enough. One of the things that in our ministry, when you are reading through the book and you're learning what it looks like to follow our roadmap for gaining and retaining sexual integrity, you basically have to be willing to do whatever it takes, okay? So the founder of our ministry stopped watching TV for a year, stopped going to the gym for a year. Why do I carry around this dumb phone? It's like a brick. Because for me, it was not fleeing from temptation if it was in my pocket, okay? That's my personal journey. I'm not espousing that or advising that. But guys, no, nowhere in the Bible is, do you see an example, or can you show me an example of where we're commanded to stand firm under this temptation? We're always commanded to flee. Every time. You may not even have your clothes on, you got to get out of the room. Okay? And so for me and my personal journey, I did not feel like I was fleeing from this temptation with it literally being a button away. So that's one of my favorite props. And I can't even begin to tell you how much freedom I experienced from that. That is not what has brought me to freedom. That was a tool. That was a tip. But it's not about those. So that's that game plan that I was talking about. That's so important. Accountability software does help. That helped a whole lot. I mean, think about it for a second. Halt B. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired, or bored. Those are your triggers. Okay? I'm literally like thinking, like, what was I thinking when somebody told me things like this and I was sitting where you're sitting? I was thinking that's great, but in 3 nights, it's going to be 10 o'clock at night, I'm going to be by myself going to bed, and my smartphone's going to be sitting there. Or I'll be on Instagram. God forbid, that thing's Satan. And it is. And it's going to happen again. And I was like doing it over and over again. And I was like, why won't this change? I was a Christian. I loved Jesus. I discipled. I mentored. But this was something. And then I was like, oh, it's my thorn in my flesh. No, that's crap. It was not. Okay. I experienced a huge level of freedom just by taking that temptation away. Okay. I still fill myself up with Christ every morning. But can I tell you the breath of fresh air it was to not have that in my pocket? when I'm at my hungry, angry, lonely, tired, or bored state. Because that's when we're vulnerable. And that's when it matters. So just an idea. Oh, I know you won't have GPS. That's okay. I literally just went to Best Buy 3 days ago, bought myself a GPS. The cheapest one there is like $90. I will buy you a GPS if you go to a flip phone. I'll make you that offer. So, one thing that our ministry talks about right here is tools, techniques, ways to build your foundation to help you gain and retain sexual integrity. The first one is being passionate for God. That's where we started. That was the whole point. Be passionate for God. Fill yourself up with the word that is living water. Repentance in spirit. What does repent mean? It means to turn from something, right? So repentant in spirit, and that goes with those three R's, recognize, ruin, and replace. But be repentant. We know that we're sinners. We know that we're fallen. And when I said that the mark of a proven man is not the absence of sin, but how you handle a setback, whatever the sin is, repent, turn from. It may mean that you might trip again, but that doesn't change the fact that Christ is enough and you are on this journey of ruining this pathway in your mind. Be open and honest. If you're not open and honest, nothing will change. You can leave now. If you're not open and honest, nothing will change. Okay? So that's why accountability is important. That's why if you have a wife, it's very important. I was at the coffee bar earlier this morning telling somebody the ministry that I'm a part of, and she said she had a hiccup in her family. They were working through it right now, and she said, her words to me were, women just don't understand. They don't know. It's true. They don't. They don't have a clue. You men are protectors. You can teach women. You can teach your daughters. You can teach your sisters. You can teach your friends. Okay? So being open and honest with those that you're around, with your brothers, with your accountability partners. If you're not that, if you don't have yourself set up for that, then you're setting yourself up for failure. If you have pastors and there's no one that they're accountable to, you can take it upon yourself in this beautiful body of Christ that we have to go to him and say, Pastor, who are you accountable to? Do you have an accountability partner? Because if not, I'm happy to be yours. Let me walk alongside you in this journey. Guys, we're seeing so many pastors fall. Why do you think so many pastors are falling? It's because they're the only ones at the top, and they don't have anybody that holds them accountable. Super, super great way to destroy them. Okay? So guard them, protect them, go after them. They're literally leading this flock. And how many times, guys, I'm tired of hearing of Christian pastors falling and having affairs. And it makes us look really bad. Does that not piss anybody else off? It really pisses me off. So I want to represent Christ well. I want to carry this torch well. And so I commend you to think about that in your pastors and as you lead and in your ministries. Victorious in living. Guys, it's so exciting. The video that we watched, we have victory in Christ. We have victory from this. We have something to celebrate about. And that's, you can't find freedom if you're in the corner wallowing. You have to be victorious in living. You have to look to the one that brings you to victory. Who are we following? He already won. Okay? Eternal in perspective. Hand in hand with that. Literally everything I'm telling you is basically saying have an eternity mindset. Don't care about today. Care about where someone's going to be when they die. Don't care about your selfishness and your pride today. What would be eternally minded? What can you do with someone sitting next to you that makes you eternally minded? Care about souls. Care about someone's salvation. Care about somebody who is in shame in this pit of despair and is maybe not doing his part, but he calls himself a Christian. Care about that person. Your eternal perspective will care about that person. I promise you it will. And if you don't care about that person, I would question your eternal perspective. That's important to think about. Your men, be challenged in that way. And then networking with other proven men. Guys, networking, networking, accountability, networking, networking, accountability. Okay? We're never supposed to go out by ourselves. We're never supposed to do it on our own. Like it said earlier, we're never supposed to just pull up our bootstraps and get this figured out. The body of Christ is so beautiful because it was designed and it's efficient. We are a body. Where you're a hand, I may be a foot. Where you're an arm, you might be a brain. And come together, you work together, you're effective together, you can move mountains together. That's the whole point. That's why we're here. I want to just throw this open now for questions. I'm kind of done talking. We've learned how Jesus is enough. The cross is enough. There's some practical things that we can do. There's some great scripture that we can understand that we're heirs of Christ. And if we're not careful, we that lead, men, your leaders, we want to take this message to those that may not inherit the kingdom.